My name's Kay. I've been married for 25 years. My husband's pretty awesome. He's put up with a whole lot of crazy in our household. We have three daughters. Our oldest daughter, Misha, is 22 years old. She is on the spectrum. She's nonverbal, significant behavioral challenges, little light seizure activity, but nothing, you kind of absence type seizures. She lives at home with us. Our second daughter, Madison, is 21 years old. She was diagnosed with celiac disease and Ehlers-Danlos syndrome, and she wears hearing aids. She's hard of hearing, but not completely deaf yet, but it is progressive. She's a senior at AUM. She lives in Montgomery. She is double majoring in chemistry and biology with a minor in computers. And so we tend to kind of just go all over the place. Before our youngest daughter was born, Mary Charles, we did ask our doctors, we're like, what are the odds, right? I mean, we have two kids with different needs, and we said, what are the odds that our third child might have either of those or something? And our doctor did tell us, you know, it's one in a million. You know, it's just not going to happen. And actually, my daughter is one in a million. She was diagnosed with an aneurysmal bone cyst, which affects one in a million teenagers and adolescents. It's a recurring but benign bone cyst. It happens in her tibia, and they have to go in, scrape it out, pack it with, you know, cadaver material. She has bone grafting, spends a little bit of time in her wheelchair, and then she kind of pops back up. But it does come back, but eventually she'll outgrow it. So it hasn't happened for several years, so we're pretty sure we're kind of at the outgrow it stage, which we're very happy about.
How old is she?
She's 17, so we homeschool her. We had a public school, a private school, and a homeschool because we can't do anything easy, right? I'm sure y'all can relate. And so she loves to tell people. Once we realized it was more annoying than, you know, serious, she would love to tell people, one in a million, God said so. And so we've kind of been through... I guess like everybody, a whole lot, you know, where you go through the diagnosis stage and you get that diagnosis and you kind of take a deep breath and you kind of jump forward because my daughter is, you know, so much older. At the time, they weren't really sure what was going on with her when she was very young. And the advice I was given because I was pregnant with my second was the advice that many other parents were given, which was, you know, you should abort. We didn't. We just couldn't. It just seemed like a drastic thing to do until they had answers, and we just thought, if they both have the same whatever it is they think she has, they thought it was maybe some type of mitochondrial disorder, which she did not have, and obviously our second daughter, apart from the syndromes and the hearing aids, is perfectly fine. So she's perfectly perfect. I am a recent graduate from the University of Montebello. When I was 49 years old, with my kids getting older, I thought now is the time to go back to school. I had been a stay-at-home mom for 17 years. I'm not sure if anyone here can relate, but at some point you get tired of being home and you're just ready to get out into the world again. So I went back to school. I was a fellowship recipient. I did choose for my project to do virtual groups for, you know, caregivers and parents of kids with disabling conditions. And then for my internship, went a totally different direction. I worked over at Hillcrest Behavioral Health. Okay, I see some head nodding. I worked with the adult male criminal offender population with psychosis. And wow, they are a fun bunch. There was never a dull moment. I loved it so much that I still work there every other weekend. And I am the person that I'm coming in like with bags, like, these are my games. I need these for my groups. And the techs are like, Miss Kay, did you bring those guys soda again? I'm like, maybe. I can't help it. I really do, really do enjoy the work I do. I really enjoy the kids that I see. And I now work at Behavioral One. I want to back up for a second. When I went to graduate school, you know, everybody has, like, their thing. And I was so jealous because, you know, my friend's like, oh, I'm going into addiction. I'm like, oh, that's wonderful. Someone else is like, oh, I'm going into eating disorders. And I thought, I don't have a thing. Everybody has a thing, and I don't have a thing. And my advisor said, really? You can't think of any population you have an interest in. I said, no. He said, okay, well, let's see what comes up. A few months later, I'm like, I really can't think of anything. And at some point, it finally dawned on me that I really do enjoy working with people who have disabling conditions. And when I finished graduate school, there was Behavioral One had put out an ad. They wanted an LPC, which I was not. I was an ALC. And they said, we're looking for this requirement only. And I thought, I'm not that requirement. But I did feel a little bit of kind of nudging, I guess, by God, just saying, do it. You know, just try it. Excuse me. And I applied for the job. I said, well, I'm not an LPC, I'm an ALC. I said, however, I mean, I know how to write IEP 504 plans. I know how to do that really well. I've been to the Wright's Law Seminary. I've worked a little bit and volunteer at ADAP. I've been to all their seminars. I've been to SEAC. I've been through Partners in Policy Making. Anybody in Partners in Policy Making? Anybody familiar with that? Okay. So I've been through so much. I said, I know what it's like to have a child who's different. Mm-hmm. I know what it's like when you're just running into all these kind of barriers everywhere you go, and there's somebody wanting to block your path, it seems like. And they gave me the job with the condition. They're like, do you have any experience with parent support groups? And I'm like, yeah, I might have done that a time or two, or 40. But so I started there, and I love it. I just really love it. I have so many kids, actually clients of all ages, that have various syndromes. I have a couple of clients who are completely nonverbal, who communicate with devices. I'm taking sign language because I want to get there. My daughter's starting to learn how to do sign language because of her challenges. And I also see parents. I see a lot of parents who sit down on my sofa and they say, we feel overwhelmed. And I say, it is okay to feel overwhelmed, because you are overwhelmed. You're doing the work of a million people. And, you know, sometimes you just feel like there's so many barriers. Today, I will be honest, started off really horribly for me, which I was so sad about, because I was kind of pumping myself up for tonight, because I really am a kind of a buoyant person. But my daughter has, she cracked a feeling. She does self-injure. And part of her thing is to bite things that really don't have a lot of give to them. So she cracked a filling, and the dentist said, she's gonna need anesthesia, which makes me groan every time, because we have that $850 anesthesia charge. So I said, okay, well, so they set up my anesthesia consult for this morning. I had like 3 hours to go from Bibb County to Birmingham, back to Bibb County, back to Birmingham. And I get there, And they say, you know, we're not going to be able to treat your daughter. And I said, why not? I mean, she's only had anesthesia once at a dental facility, but it was at that facility. And they said, well, the anesthesiologist, they don't want the risk. And so I really am a nice person, y'all. I'll be honest. I'm a nice person. And so I'm like, a risk? What risk? I mean, with other conditions, you know, some come with like a heart problem or a respiratory problem or, you know, but we don't have a risk. There's no risk with autism. And so, and the poor, bless her heart, the poor little dental assistant. And sometimes I do feel my age, because I just feel myself like forcing it on people without meaning to. And I said, there's no risk. I said, what risk are you saying for autism? She goes, well, they just said the risk. I said, there's no risk. Tell me, I want to know what risk. And finally she said, it's their preference not to work on people with autism. And that's why we can't do the procedure. And she said, so I'm getting a little emotional at the time, of course, because it's like I took off, you know, I'm like going to be late for work. I just took all this time off. And so she said, you know, I'm going to go find a place that will take your daughter. I said, oh, yeah, let's do that. Let's find a place that will see my daughter for this cracked filling that has to be done within the month. She comes back. She goes, UAB Sparks Clinic. I said, oh, let's call them. Will you help me call them? Let's call them right now. And you know what happens when we call, right? They're like, oh, honey. They said, we can't even see your daughter until January. And the first procedure we can do on any child will be next fall of 2023. And I said, okay, thank you. I said, anything else? They said, well, you could try the Foundry. There's a wait list, and you have to pay cash in full in advance. So I said, I didn't ask her to call the Foundry. By then, I just said, this is wrong. I said, I'll go ahead and call it discrimination.
Yeah, it is.
I said, because you can't just say that there's a risk factor when nobody's even looked at my daughter. My daughter went through braces for 2 years. I think she can handle this.
Yes.
I said, she has been through anesthesia at this office. And so, and she's just like, yes, ma'am, yes, ma'am, yes, ma'am. And she said, I'm going to go talk to somebody. And I said, you do that. I said, I'm taking my daughter home. So I was in a mood. So I did. I cried on the way home because, you know, you have that where you try and you try and you try. And there's just roadblock after roadblock after roadblock. And on the way home, she called me. She goes, this is Peyton. And I said, hey, Peyton. She goes, we're going to do it. We looked at your file. She said, there is no risk. She said, they're going to do it for you. And I was like, thank you, Peyton.
You
I still cried,
back.
But
so. Did you have to go back today? Hmm? Did you have to go back today to do it?
No, it's going to be one of those where no food or drink for 6 hours.
And so take a whole another day.
I'm going to have to take a whole another day.
Oh,
you know they're not going to do that for us. The free is $850, and they're going to charge me an anesthesia fee per tooth. So because I said, while you're in there, do it all, because she's got two other slightly chipped teeth. And they said, we're going to have to address that. She's got two tiny cavities where some of her teeth are pressing together that they said really don't need to be fixed, but will need something in the future. I said, do that too. $150 per tooth. For an anesthesia charge on top of the $850. And then you have the fee for the work that they do. Yeah. So my total bill was like $3,000 and something, and it was down to like $2,100, and my flex card had like $980, and I'm like, give me a payment plan, you know. So, but you know, this is the kind of thing that parents go through, and I've seen everybody, they're like, yep, been there, done that. Argued with somebody who said, you know, we can't, we can't, we can't, we can't, we can't. Eyeglasses, y'all ever have the eyeglass thing? Eyeglasses, where they say, oh, well, your daughter probably needs to see so-and-so. They'll be more comfortable with so-and-so. And I said, it's just an eye exam. No, she can't talk. But y'all have ways of doing that, right? You do eyeglasses, and they're like, yeah. So they put me with somebody, then they call back and said, you know, this person thinks you're going to be more comfortable with this other person. And I said, I need an 8 o'clock appointment though. You've got it. They call back a week later. And they said, that 8 o'clock appointment's looking a little crowded. I said, how do you get crowded at 8 o'clock in the morning when I have the first appointment of the day?
Yeah.
And they said, well, we moved you to 11:30.
Oh,
I said, do you want to know what will happen to your waiting room by the time my daughter gets through at 11:30? It is so not a pretty sight. I'm like, y'all, no. And so they said, well, we can put you with so-and-so, and that, but that's going to take about 4 more weeks. And it, right, you just go through, and I'm just like, just forget it. Y'all have changed this 3 times already. So I called somebody else who, thankfully, they were able to get her in. But being a parent and a caregiver is hard work. And it is almost a full-time job. But I think my sanity was on the edge of being a stay-at-home mom. Because I'm into counseling. I'm always into interactive kind of groups. So I'm hoping y'all will participate in a small little group activity. I think y'all really want it. Have y'all ever done the Write a One ad for a caregiver activity? Oh, y'all, this is so much fun. We're gonna write one ads for someone to replace you. So to and then we're gonna share them. Not everybody has to share them, but I'm gonna give you an idea of like the one ad I wrote. I wrote it about a year ago. I wrote, help wanted. In search of someone who can work both full-time outside of the home and manage the household. Mild to moderate assistance provided. A teenager, mild. Qualified applicants must be able to hold down a full-time job along with the following duties. Care of a 22-year-old with autism who is functionally nonverbal. Understanding of picture communication and sign language a must. Minimal nursing duties to include bandaging of minor scrapes, wounds, and cuts, along with the treatment of torn off toenails. That's her coping skill. She tears off her toenails. Cooking duties include items easily eaten with hands or fork and occasionally gluten-free. Extra food should be prepared for relatives who need assistance. Cleaning and laundry to allow for multiple clothing changes a day. Anybody else's kid just like whip clothes off and on? Like all the time? Yeah. Must be able to bathe an adult frequently, along with personal hygiene and care. Ability to transform the home to be wheelchair accessible within a week's notice to include ramps, handbars, and other assistive devices. Ability to communicate with a 21-year-old with hearing aids. Ability to manage medical and therapy appointments. Mopping should be done daily and carpet cleaning as often as necessary. And the carpet cleaning, if you know, you know. You should expect minimal sleep with frequent unexpected interruptions. Occasional times for naps will be provided when possible. Minimal time for homeschooling a 17-year-old should be planned around daily requirements. In addition to the above, applicants should expect to spend time outside of the home assisting elderly relatives with arthritis, dementia, or Alzheimer's. Assistance should include transportation for appointments, meal preparation, and occasional light housework. That's my, if someone replaces me, that's what they need to be ready to do.
Time three,
right? So, this is, I want y'all to write your help for a caregiver kind of ad. All right, who wants to read their help wanted ad?
I'll read mine short.
All right, thank you.
Okay, the topic is looking for great helper for a great guy. Mm-hmm. Okay, you got to wash clothes, you got to fix food, pick him up, even pick him up when he runs out of gas in his car, so he didn't remember to fill it up. Mm-hmm. Mop the toilet area, because he doesn't always hit the space. Mm-hmm. You got boys?
I don't have boys, but I can imagine.
Okay, take out the trash in the floor, the chair, the table, wherever. And they explain that he doesn't have to get a new glass every time he goes to the kitchen. He has to be told that there are other people in the house. Don't drink all the milk. And you have to be patient. And if he would just tell people what he wants. He's real guarded with his demands.
Sure.
He's like a little bird, but he's 6'3" and a half.
Not so little guy.
But he's timid, and but anyway, he's really not a bad sport. He's just that. I guess I feel sorry for him, so I do too much.
I think we all do.
But he's losing a lot of his abilities that he had in his younger years.
Right.
I can see it.
Right.
But the year at the group home,
it was
wasn't good.
All right. Is there anything else on your list?
No.
Okay, thank you.
When I get driving home, I'll be sure.
Well, you'll have my card. You can email me a better one if you want. Who else wants to read and share? I'm almost afraid, but go ahead.
Gonna lock me up after I read mine.
No.
And there's the crazy poor lady. This is just rambling. I'm just trying to think how I do during the day. I just said help wanted. Be very patient with Dominique. Explain things slowly. Keep your eyes on her at all times. Wake up Dominique. Give her her morning medicine. Allow 30 minutes before fixing her breakfast. Give her options for breakfast. Cook her breakfast. Then clean up the kitchen. Walk the dog, give her fresh water and food. Pick out clothes for Dominique, iron them if necessary. Remind her to put on deodorant and brush her teeth. Mm-hmm. Figure out dinner and either go to the store or start cooking. Call Danielle, see if she needs anything. If she wants food, bring it to her. Fix Dominique lunch, clean up the kitchen, wash a load or two of laundry. Walk the dog again, heat up the food for Danny, vacuum. Tell Dominique to go get a bath. Feed her dinner, clean the kitchen. Remind her to brush her teeth. Iron clothes for the next day. Check the mail. Pay the bills. Check the emails. Get Dominique ready for bed. Fill up her water cup, fill the humidifier, turn on the nightlight, say prayers. Walk the dog again, clean the house. take her to all her appointments in school as necessary.
That's quite the list. Anybody else want to share?
Sure, I'll read.
Thank you.
Okay, help wanted someone to care for, 24-year-old female with autism and epilepsy. Must be able to wake her up early, every morning for breakfast and morning medication. Must supervise bathing and dressing for school. Make sure she puts on deodorant, body lotion, and brush her teeth. Supervise her making her breakfast. She can make her own oatmeal.
Nice.
Well, that's pretty good.
Yes. It's the little packets, but she loves it.
That's so good. That's so good.
Okay, make lunch for school. Find her lunchbox, which is never in the kitchen when needed.
It's usually in the garage or the car where they lunch.
Yeah. Then make sure she puts the lunchbox in the car before driving her to school. Don't forget to take the dog out, feed the dog, and give the dog her medication. Take the dog out a second time before taking the 24-year-old to school. That's as far as I got.
That's Well, I think the point we're getting to is it safe to say that everybody here does the job of more than one person?
Yes.
Right? Anybody disagree? All right. So we do all these things. We do the job of more than one person. Now, who here still feels guilty for not doing enough? And I wanted to take a moment just to point that out, that if nobody has told you, you need to know that you are enough. What you're doing is enough. It'll be okay if you don't get every little thing on that list done. You're enough just for what you're doing and who you are and who you're taking care of. And anytime you feel overwhelmed or like things are getting to be too much for you, I want you to remind yourself that this whole room has validated you in saying you're doing the work of two or three people. You are enough, even if the whole list doesn't get done. And that was basically my point that I was getting to. I did write down one of my favorite verses. It's really suiting my mood today because of the whole dentist thing. 2 Corinthians 12:9-10. But he said to me, "My grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly about my weaknesses so that Christ's power may rest on me. That is why, for Christ's sake, I delight in weaknesses, in insults, in hardships, in persecutions, in difficulties. For when I am weak, then I am strong." And that speaks to me, especially in the days where I seem to hit those roadblocks and those barriers, and my list doesn't get finished, and I have to tell myself, I'm enough. I'm enough in God's eyes. I'm enough in my daughter's eyes. I'm just simply enough. So when I told my dad that I was speaking today, he's 83 years old. He's got vascular dementia. My dad was funny. He said, "Well, good Lord, Kay." He said, "Nobody needs to ask you to speak. They need to ask you to shut up." He just cracks me up. So I'm going to go ahead and close and end. I do have a support group that I do for parents once a month. My topic next month is on handling our emotions that we feel as parents, because sometimes we do get frustrated. We do get angry at our kids with challenges. And then, of course, we feel guilty because we feel angry. And sometimes we can't really talk about it because everyone we meet says, "Wow, you're an angel. Look at you so patiently tending to your kid." And I'm going like, "Oh, I'm so not an angel. Please don't praise me because I just can't do it." And so it's all about those difficult emotions. And I do have 2 in-person groups and a virtual group. And I would just simply love to have y'all involved. Please come get a business card. And if you know somebody that might be interested, tell them to take a business card. I also do counseling, but the counseling's not free because I'm an ALC. So, but the support groups are free, and I try to promote them as much as I can.
Is the virtual information on?
Well, you'll have to email me to be put on the list. Just email me and say, "Hey, I need to be on your virtual support group list," and then I will add you to it. I can take, I think, like 250 people on Zoom. I have about 10 now, so we got plenty of room. Invite everybody. I didn't know if you wanted to close in prayer, or I wasn't sure how we close here.
Thank you. all for coming. And Michael would love to be here with you. And
to email me to be put on the list. Just okay. Email me and say, hey, I need to be on your virtual support group list. And then I will add you to it. I can take, I think, like 250 people on Zoom. I have about 10 now. So.
Oh, okay.
We got plenty of room. Invite everybody. I didn't know if you wanted to close in prayer. Or I wasn't sure how we close here.
Thank you all for coming. And Michael would love to.